So we went to the restaurant, and you know, do you go to the drive-thru, or do you, what do they say? How many times I've been to fast food restaurants, can't think what they say. Is that for here or to go? Isn't that normally what they say? Is that for here or to go? So we went to Burger King last night, thinking we were going to eat in there. When we got in there, they said, "We're so sorry. The managers told us that, you know, you can only have it to go. We got to shut the door." Oh, okay. Makes you feel unloved, you know. They let you in and then anyway, it's not the point. So what happened is they gave us free drinks to make up for the inconvenience, so I could live with that. So as we stepped outside, we've got all this food. Now, I'm driving, and, you know, it's my car. My car's kind of nice. It's got leather in it, so I don't really want all this sloppy Burger King stuff all over my car. So there's a lawn right outside Burger King between us and the road. It was quite wide, about as wide as this room. So I said, let's have a picnic. So we sat out last night, what was it, about 10, 15 at night, and had a picnic outside of Burger King. It was just such a great experience, you know, it was a beautiful evening. And I want to encourage you, something God's been showing me, how the conference, we got so complimented on the conference. Dr. Leon, for instance, started with how well it was organized, all the brochures, everything that was done, the food, the hospitality, the friendliness, everything. And on top of that, we've got our spontaneity, which of course is more my strong point. And I want to say this, you know, spontaneity without planning doesn't work. So therefore, you can try and be as spontaneous as you like. It ain't going to work if you don't have a platform of something to move off of. So this is extremely important. And obviously in our kingdom, the most important platform is the Word of God. There is nothing in your life more important than a revelatory knowledge of the Word of God. There is nothing more important. If you think the most important thing is prayer, you don't know to pray if you don't know the Word. If you think the most important thing is evangelism, you don't know to evangelize if you don't know the Word. If you think the most important thing is worship, you don't know to worship if you don't know the Word. Or somebody's taught it to you, but you haven't got it. You've got somebody else's worship. You've got somebody else's evangelism. You've got somebody else's. You see what I'm saying? You've actually got somebody else's religion. And so until you get it yourself, like Josh was just saying, you know, nobody can give you this. You cannot learn it. The amount of people I meet, amount of Christians, oh, my kids teach me so much. Well, shame on you. You're supposed to be teaching your kids. They're not supposed, if you read the Bible, like I do occasionally, you'll realize that when children lead, you know, people quote that verse, but they don't realize it's actually a curse. It's a curse in the book Isaiah when it talks about women and children leading. I said the other bit quickly. So I want to encourage you, because what we got to do now is tonight, I want to teach you something that I consider vital in your walk with God. Vital. And that is knowing the difference between your spirit and your soul. If you don't know the difference between your spirit and your soul, now there's another thing we've got to start doing. We've got to start bringing our Bibles to the church. Is that okay? I heard my daughter say, yeah. We've got to start bringing Bibles, notebooks. It's no good trying to crash, you know, what a cram the exam when you haven't been listening all year long. Right? Now, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't hear. You can't hear. So, you know, I said this last night down in Newburgh. The amount of people this year that have been misled is because they've not been led by the Word. They've been led by their feelings, their emotions, their own will, their own desires, and it's backfired. Now, I've got handouts for what I'm going to teach. But, you know, I have this problem. If somebody gives me a handout, so maybe you're not like me. Somebody gives me a handout, I read it in 5 minutes, then I switch off. So I'm not giving it to you. I'm putting it over here, and if you're good, I'll let you take one home. If I feel like you've been paying attention. So the first thing, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now tomorrow morning at 9:30, somebody say 9:30. At 9:30 tomorrow, we're going to be doing a first of 5-week course on what we call in discovery class. And everybody pretty much that I see here, you should be here. You should be there. You should commit yourself and dedicate yourself to the study of who we are as a body, what we believe, what we corporately believe. It's going to be taught by several, if not all, of the members of the pastoral team. So I'd encourage you to be there. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you there? If you haven't got a Bible, there should be one somewhere under a chair somewhere. Look around, grab one, grab a pen. If you haven't got one, I've got one here if you need one. Begin in verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Now, there's a verse we need to ignore because we live in America. Did you see what it says? Who are over you in the Lord. So let's ignore that. And admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23 is what I want you to focus on. Now may the God of peace himself, somebody say himself. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. Okay, now that's the verse I want you to look at. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. So what I'm going to talk about is your spirit, soul, and your body. I've talked about these things before, but it's a long time since I taught it. There's a lot of people here tonight who have never seen me teach it, and I've got some new stuff on it. Now, does everybody here realize that you're not schizophrenic? So let's start there. You know, it's one of these things that we need to say, you know, there's not this battle going on inside of you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the earth. They're not fleshly. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Who knows how to finish that verse, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So therefore, the weapon of our warfare is what? Imaginations, thoughts, and what was the third one? I just said it. Well, no, they are strongholds. Imaginations, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Imaginations, knowledge, thoughts. Imagination, knowledge, thoughts. None of these battles are external. Okay? I'm not talking about fighting spiritual things. I'm talking about fighting what keeps your ears apart. That's where the fight is. I had a long talk with a young man yesterday, unfortunately. So who's seen the movie Up? I haven't seen it all, but I saw the excerpt that I really wanted to see. I saw a clip of it the other day. And the dog jumps up on the old man. See that? Squirrel. And that's become my catchphrase, you know. How Christians today, their whole battle, you know, they got their focus in on the Father, they're
hungry for God, and it's squirrel. And that's what's going on. You are not going to make it in this kingdom if you've got a lazy head. You're not going to make it, okay? You can think you're going to make it. You're not. Now, let's get this clear. I'm not talking about academics. All of you know that I have not been an academic in my life. I obviously study, but the reality is that was not my strong point. So I'm not talking about academics. Oh, by the way, those of you that prepare for sermons, that was my point about telling you about the picnic. I just remembered. We're sitting on the grass, and someone said, I don't know who it was, that, I get up to speak like David probably just feels. You know, I get up to speak, and I meant to say that, you know. I want to say this. If you say everything you prepared to speak, you're boring. Did you all hear what I just said? If you say everything you prepared for, you're boring. You might as well stuck it in the computer, put it on speak, and just hit the button, and we could have all sat around drinking coffee listening to the computer. All right? So that is not how you minister in public. You do not public according. The preparation gives you the platform to be spontaneous. Now, of course, if you're a teacher, you need your notes. Don't miss my point here. You can't wing everything. All right, so we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. Now, who knows really what the definition of sin is? Missed the mark. Bada bing. That's why we're going to describe spirit, soul, and body this way. You know what? Maybe we'll go for another color. Can everybody see from there? I know I'm kind of in the way. I try not to be. So let's do our spirit. Another color for soul. Da-da-da-da-da. And then we'll go for body. Cool. Who's been chewing that? Right. So this is the body. Well, I just read it. Now that one's ain't going to work. As I just read out of Thessalonians. Right. Remember the scripture says that I may preserve you, that sanctify you wholly. Spirit. This is spirit. It comes first. Soul. It comes second. Body. It comes third. Now, in this world, it's the other way around. Everybody's so concerned about their body, what they look like, you know, how pretty they are, how, you know, attractive they are, how well they dress, et cetera, how nice their car is, their house is. It's all appertaining to the body, right? It's all appertaining to the body. So the whole world has got it wrong. Now, the soul, does everybody know? Let's just write it down very clearly. The soul is made up of three parts, your will, your emotion. We need to know this because I remember arguing with a guy in a bus in Vancouver. Imagine that. I remember that 26 years ago. He said, I don't believe I got a soul. Now, I didn't at the time realize that your soul is your psyche. Of course everybody's got a soul. It's your will, your emotion, and your intellect. Not necessarily your IQ, but your intellect. I just can't be bothered to write intellect, obviously. And probably I don't have the intellect to spell it, but that's not the point. So here we go. Now, I want you to see this. Now, when we've got, it looks like I'm advertising a phone company there, Sprint or something. So when you're born, this is dead. This is dead. This is why the Bible says you were born dead in your trespasses and sins. Because it says you were born dead. Your spirit was dead, separated from God. Are you making notes? You really should. You were born dead. This is why you must be born again. Now, for instance, I'm going to ask you guys to think about these things in the future. Can you explain to somebody on the street why they must be born again? If you can't, where have you been all your life? You see, you've got to be able to explain these things, not intellectually, but if you know what you're saying, because we are not speaking head-to-head when we communicate with people. We're speaking spirit-to-spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is why if you are not spiritual right now, you won't get one thing I'm talking about. Are we all right? Okay. So when you're born dead here. Your spirit is separated from God. This is why you must be born again. You must be refathered. You must here receive the incorruptible seed of God, and you are now made alive unto God. So now God communicates you by the Spirit. Now, one of the problems, as I say, I wrote down a list of 11 people in the last probably 9 months that have made geographical bad decisions because they listened to their emotions instead of being led by the Spirit. So let's leave it at that for now. Now, okay, this is your spirit, this is your soul, this is your body. In your spirit is God's will. Right? It's in your spirit. In your soul is your will. In your spirit is God's will, in your soul is your will. So therefore, most Christians, this is not an age thing, most unspiritual Christians don't know the difference, which is why they're led by one of these three things. Their will, their emotions, or their intellect. You know, intelligent people don't think they know God, need God. How many times have you met that? How many times have you tried to... We all know it's easy to witness to a drug addict. They know they need God. But try and witness to an engineer who's earning $110,000 a year, who's got a wife who's a school teacher, whose kids are clean cut and all the rest of it. Try and tell them they need God. Tell them they need to be born again. Their intellect refuses to accept it, all right? So let's get it clear. God's will is in your spirit. Your will is in your soul. And your body does whatever your soul tells it to do. Now, before we go anywhere else, if any of you read the NIV Bible, I don't normally knock translations, but the NIV, when it comes to this subject, is really out of order. Let me change this word a minute to flesh, because we don't want to confuse the body of Christ with the flesh. Now, to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is an enemy of God. I want you to know this. It's an enemy of God. To be carnally minded is an enemy of God. Remember, his will is in your spirit, your will is in your soul. In the NIV, they translate the word flesh as sinful nature. And it is completely wrong. The word flesh in the Bible is the word sarx in Greek, sarx. And it simply means meat. It simply means flesh, meat. Now, do you realize that your body... No, I'm going to go there. Hang on. Go back to the text. Let's go back to the text. All right, let's start from beginning. First Thessalonians, I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 16. The King James says, rejoice evermore. Now, that is an act of your soul. Rejoice evermore. This is an act of your soul. This is a decision. If you're miserable, it's because you choose to be. Look at me, please. If you're miserable, it's your choice. You choose to be miserable. You choose to be unhappy. You choose to feel lonely. You choose to feel unloved. You choose to have a bad day. It's your choice. Because if the Bible says rejoice evermore and you're not, that means either God is a liar or you are. One or the other. And guess what? Do you hear what... I mean, this is not easy because I am naturally melancholic. So therefore, it's not easy for me to realize that being happy is a choice. It is not a circumstance. It is an act of your soul. I'm going to give you the most famous verse on it. You know what it is. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my will, my emotions, and my intellect. Bless the Lord is an act of your will. I will be happy today. I will rejoice today. I realize God loves me. Even though it seems like my world is collapsing, God still loves me with an eternal love. Therefore, I will rejoice with an eternal rejoicing. And that's why I've got no time for grumpy people when they come to church and just look up there. Praise is a choice. It is not a spirit. It's not a spirit. Worship is a spirit. Praise is of the soul. And if you're miserable, Get a life.
Try Jesus.
No, I'm serious. If the word commands you to rejoice evermore, you must be able to rejoice evermore. Jesus would never expect you to do what you can't do. Therefore, rejoice evermore.
And if you're having a bad day, it's a choice.
Now, I'm not talking about that somebody just pushed you down the stairs at the bottom of the stairs. Obviously, you're going to have a bad few moments, a few days, a few weeks, maybe, if you're still in a body cast in hospital. I understand that. But I'm talking about the fact that you repeatedly get up. And I am talking to people in this room. I'm not being nebulous. There are people in this room that your life is a testimony of misery. And I've got some advice. Stop it!
Okay, that's the end of that teaching.
Bless the Lord, O my will, my emotion, and my intellect, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my will, my emotion, and my intellect, and forget not all his benefits towards me. The reason why you're miserable is you are forgetting all his benefits towards you. That's why.
Are we doing all right? Let's try it another way. What, me worry? That's an Alfred E. Newman joke. Okay.
Now, verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always, soul. Next thing it says, pray without ceasing, spirit and soul. This is spirit and soul.
Now, here's my text for it, 1 Corinthians 14. Are you ready?
What is the conclusion then? Of course, you have to read 1 Corinthians 14 to know what the text is to get the conclusion. But this is a conclusion, which is all I need at the moment. I would pray with my spirit. And I will pray with my understanding, my will, my emotions, and my intellect. I will sing in the spirit. And I will sing with my will, my emotions, and my intellect, which is why I don't sing bad theological songs. I don't sing them. If everybody else is singing them, that particular line, I go, eh. You will not get me to sing a bad song that's theologically incorrect. Because I pray with my spirit and with my soul. Are we okay? Are you sure now? Some of you look very bored, and that's okay, but I want to trust you. This young man I was talking to yesterday, he's battling. He's in the middle of a test and a trial, and he believes that God's delivered him, but then also he's going through this situation. Yeah, I can tell you what it is. It's a court case, and it keeps being put off, and if it gets put off one more time, it may be thrown out. Now, he's put in his whole walk on the result of that court case. Now, whether he's acquitted or sent to jail, that's not the point. I'm just using it as an extreme. Whether he's free or jailed changes nothing. Because if your life depends on your circumstances, you are not in faith. Come and help me tonight. You're not in faith. If you say, oh, God's going to set me free. God's going to, get me off this, or whatever it is. And if he doesn't, is he not God anymore? Has he gone against his word? Is it your lack of faith? It doesn't matter what it is. The reality is you're either going to live by the word or you're going to live by circumstances. You're either going to live by what the word says and what God says is unchangeable, immovable, no shadow of turning, or you're going to live by your will, your emotions, and your intellect. There's your choice. Where's the choice? In your soul. The choice is not in your spirit. The choice is not in your spirit. We'll get to that. The choice is yours, and it isn't a coin toss. Okay, where was we? Pray without ceasing. We've done that. That's spirit and soul. You can pray in tongues all you like, but until you start praying in English, you got to. Personally, I believe greatly in praying in the spirit because we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray if we go into court, whether we should or should. I mean, the point is this young man is guilty. He's not trying to say, oh, it's a bum rap. I didn't do it. Like 99% of the people I've met in prisons. But the reality is, he is guilty. So now, He's trying to discover that his innocence means innocence of what he did or innocence before God. You see, they're not the same thing. You can commit a crime, get caught, get sentenced, go to jail, repent and be innocent before God, but still go to your time. Right? It's like if any of you ever think about committing, bankruptcy. Bankruptcy, you know, chapter 11. If anybody ever decided, now, I don't have a problem with doing chapter 11 because it takes the pressure off, but pay your debts. Even if it takes the rest of your life, pay your debts. They're your debts. Pay them off. You know what I'm saying? Declare the chapter 11 for the protection. I don't have a problem with that. And this is so, because, you know, you're not going to get away with it one way or the other. You're going to reap what you sow. Anyway, let's not go there. All right, verse 18. Now, you with me? In everything give thanks. Okay, help me. Is that spirit or soul? Soul. Completely soul. In everything. You're guilty. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Lord. In everything, not for everything. Oh, thank God I'm guilty. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, give thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord, somebody pushed me down the stairs. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in this bed for 3 weeks or whatever. No, that's not what I'm saying. But in everything, give thanks. Why? What does it say? For this is the will of God. So listen, how do you release your spirit man? Come on, folks, now please, everybody look at me. We have now for a year been training ourselves to release our spirit man. How? Give thanks. Give thanks in the soul releases the will of God in your spirit. Can you see that? As soon as you become ungrateful, you are out of the will of God. Totally. The most ungrateful thing in your life is your gossip. As soon as you start talking against, I mean, this text, remember what it says? Recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Over you in the Lord, labor among you. That means just about covers everybody. And as soon as we begin to speak against that, what are we doing? We're not being thankful. And what happens is, listen, well, we get to that. Oh, no, it's the next pass, right? In everything give thanks. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 4, you know this. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Where are his gates? Right here. Did you see that? Where are his gates? Right here. There is gates. I will enter his gates for my flesh through my soul into the spirit with thanksgiving. You cannot be in the spirit if you are miserable and unthankful. You can't be because you haven't entered his gates. His gates aren't out here somewhere that we enter when we lift up our hands. Our gates are inside us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've got to get into the temple by praise and thanksgiving. It's so stinking simple. I don't know why we miss it. Are we okay? Now, look what happens if we don't. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. His will is in your spirit. Now, look what verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. So how do you quench the spirit? You quench the spirit by being miserable and unthankful. Come on, folks. Why are you looking at me like miserable? That's how you quench the spirit. You don't quench the spirit by banging a tambourine during worship. That definitely has an effect on us all. Because we all stop giving thanks because we really want you to shut up. So, Maybe that's what. Maybe that's how you quench the spirit with a tambourine, because everybody's going, shut up. And, you know, all I... Have you ever met these compulsive clappers? You know, the Spirit of God's coming and the glory of God's beginning to come. And everybody's going to begin to lift their hearts and their voice and their big God's beginning. And so you got this. Mate, you need to learn what a candlelight dinner is, mate. I mean, can you imagine being married to that? Comes home one night, you've all prepared his dinner, you got a candle, and you sit down, and he goes, whoa, yeah! Anyway, that's one of my idiosyncrasies. I'm getting delivered. Or am I? I'm not sure. You see, you quench the spirit. Let me tell you again. You quench the spirit by being miserable in your soul, by being unthankful in your soul. You're not entering his gates. His gates are your decision maker into the spirit. Now, let's get back to, are we doing all right? Let's get back to verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will of God is in your spirit. Now, I want to go to a verse here, 1 Corinthians 6, 16. And this is something that some of you need to understand why God hates fornication. Okay? You need to learn this. God hates fornication. Why? Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 6, 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? The two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now, when you sleep with somebody outside of marriage, you don't. I hope you hear this. When you sleep with somebody outside of marriage, you're actually marrying them. You need to hear this. This is the truth, right? And the truth has said, the bells! And so, it's the straight face that does it. So, when you sleep with somebody, now there was a perfect time to lift the whole thing, but you know. Did we all get it? When you sleep with somebody outside marriage, you're actually marrying them. Because when you get married, the two become one flesh. Why? Because marrying Sam says so? No, because when they consummate, does everybody know what consummate the marriage means? Does everybody understand that without blood there's no covenant? So therefore, when the virginity is lost in the consummation, that's the blood of the covenant between husband and wife. And so therefore, we need to understand this. This is kind of interesting stuff. The reality, it's the straight face, it's really killing some of you guys. I tell you, I'm really enjoying myself up here. Is that there's a time when young people don't get it. So what happens is if you sleep around, then what happens is you've been married several times. Come on, guys, this is real. You've been married several times, and now when you do make a decision to sanctify someone, separate them unto yourself for the rest of your life, as opposed to one-night stands or whatever, now what happens, it's all well and good, but your conscience is going to kick your butt. Your conscience is going to get you. And what happens is your soul begins to get hindered by this. And what happens? You get discouraged, downcast, feel shame, guilt, all those things, etc. And now you're not rejoicing evermore. See, most of us enter the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God corporately, but we don't individually. So what happens when we come to church, this is why young people go, I can't make it out. I just do so good in church and people lie before God and worship and weep and it's all good. Because we're using each other's anointing to get into the presence of God. But when we get on our own, we're miserable again. Because something's bothering us. We're either not, we're not thankful. The biggest problem, I'll have to tell you, in our country, I think, that we're the biggest problem is your relationship with your father. That's the biggest problem on the planet. Biggest problem on the planet. This is why it's important to me now to read. Pastor Ernie gave me a word this week. He said, Vaughn, you need to see yourself as a father, not just a preacher. Now, I've always identified myself as a preacher more than a pastor. But the reality is, he said, you need to see yourself as a father more than a preacher. Do you know how many of you people need a father? I'm not saying I'm it. I do know I'm a good one. But I'm not much good at fathering other people's kids. There's nothing more irritating in my life than watching some spoiled kid and nobody's taking authority over their rotten attitude. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You see it at the famous checkout counter, you know? I want a candy. No. I'm going to... That happened in our family once. Then Alice told the others, don't try that, don't work. See that fella, him and that lady, they never disagree. Don't try it, we lose, they win. And so I'm saying that because say you come to this church or whatever, it doesn't make me your father. And if you have a father, I absolutely am not your father. Take my daughter-in-law, right? I've got two, as you know. Mallory and Ashley. They married my sons. Now, they both got close relationships with their father. And I'm not their father. They have a father. They have a dad. They love their father. They've loved them all their lives. They've known nothing but love from their father. However, spiritually, I've got a little bit of edge on their fathers. So they tend to look towards me. Especially when it comes to major decisions concerning them and their husband. Because they know there's one person on this planet that their husbands listen to more than anybody else on the planet. That's me. So we've built that relationship and I've embraced them even though they have a father and I father them in spiritual things. Not totally, not completely, but I'm saying this because some of you... don't realize how important having a father is. The whole purpose of our salvation, listen to this, is not Jesus. The purpose of our salvation is Jesus restoring us to the Father. Right? And we all know the last verse in the Bible, Old Testament, clearly says, you know, talks about the spirit of Elijah, says, I will come to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the children back to the fathers, or I'll strike the earth with a curse. So therefore, there's no curse on the earth. The curse was taken away by Jesus Christ. So the reality is, but there can be a curse in your life if you're still mad at your father and don't accept fathers in the faith. This is why it's very hard to father people that question everything I say. Now, I'm not saying... Obviously, I'm not infallible. Nobody's infallible. Paul the Apostle wasn't infallible. Peter wasn't. John wasn't. Nobody was infallible. King David, no one's infallible except Jesus. But the reality is, how many decisions do you make where you're not asking someone who's been around the block a few more times than you? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I don't make any major decisions in my life where I don't run it by, obviously, first of all, the pastors in this house, right? You ask Josh, I'm always asking their advices, and all these guys, I'm always running. And then if it's an even bigger thing, I call Leon, I call Phil, sometimes I call Ernie, because Ernie's very good with money. I call Mike, I call all kinds of people. And I just want to encourage you. It's so important. And the other disrespectful thing, of course, is your spouse. As soon as you diss your spouse, I saw it while Josh was talking about innocence. He mentioned innocence, and I had a vision of a husband on the couch, like sleeping on the couch. and how somewhere somebody's judged somebody guilty for that to happen. And there's been a loss of innocence, a breakdown of relationship, and until repentance come, it cannot be restored. I don't know how to encourage you enough. God's will is already in you. It's not an external thing. Do you know not one person in the New Testament ever prayed for geographical direction? How many people today are praying, oh, should I be here? Should I be there? Should I be? No, you need to be in the will of God. You need to be in the will of God, which is in the Spirit. Doesn't matter where you are. If God speaks, that's different. If God gives you a dream, come over to Damascus and help us. If God visits you while you're in prison, innocently. You see now this is all falling in, right? You're in prison innocently, and Jesus turns up personally. Paul, what? You got to go to Rome. Okay. Now, if you only believe the will of God is for you not to go to prison, you're going to miss Jesus. Because the will of God isn't in or out of prison. The will of God is in you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God, ask Brian, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God. The will of God is to give thanks. The will of God is to praise, rejoice evermore. That's the will of God. Do you know some of you aren't listening? I'm really quite astounded because I know this is good teaching. Anybody get a witness to that? Now, verse 19. Do not quench. You know why? You don't, some of you don't want to listen to what I'm saying because you're going to have to change if you hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to stop being miserable. You're going to have to stop gossiping. You're going to have to stop being so disobedient. You're going to have to stop being so independent. And you don't want to do it. Bavakasha. Like I say to my kids, you need me more than I need you. Trust me, I don't get fat on most of your tithes. I'm sorry, it's a time. I've told my kids, and I went, I've told them straight, listen guys, you need me more than I need you. If you don't want to be my son, my daughter, that's fine. There's plenty out there who will want to be my son and my daughter. Plenty. So don't try and manipulate me. Why was I saying that? I'm not too sure, but let it fall where it lies. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Okay. We've already discussed that, being miserable quenches, being unthankful quenches the Spirit. But also, what quenches the Spirit is this. Ignorance in the soul. Not ignorance in your IQ. I don't care if your IQ is 10. I don't care if your IQ is your shoe size. The reality is, it's got nothing to do with IQ. It's got everything to do with revelation knowledge. So ignorance of the will of God, ignorance of the word of God quenches the Spirit. Of course, unbelief, rebellion, all those obvious things. Fear. Fear is a learnt thing. You know, everybody says, well, you know, God's not given us a spirit of fear. That's not what the Bible actually says. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. That word isn't fear, it's timidity. So I want you to understand that you can quench the Spirit, and we're all grasping for it, like, where's the Spirit? Where's the Spirit? It all starts here. God's will is in you. All right, carry on. I'm going to keep going for a bit. If you're bored, I'll close my eyes and pray for 10 seconds, and you can run out of the church. Try not to scream. Here we go, verse 20. Do not despise prophecies. Where's that? In the soul. The prophecies from the Spirit, but your soul despises it. And one of the things I really want to encourage you, Revelation 19:10 says this, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So don't despise the testimony of Jesus. And I want to say this, you know, we are going to judge prophecy in this house. There was a prophecy last weekend, remember Robin Cook gave it about God's looking for vessels. Yielded vessels. Simple word, but it was the word of the Lord. word of the Lord. So I got up and confirmed it as the word of the Lord.
And I don't have a problem with prophecy, but if it's off, I will say something, a little something. I don't mean like if it's a little, I mean if it's like off.
Verse 21. Now here's a point. Test all things. Now this is spirit and soul. Because the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that older folks, or older mature, let me say, who by reason of use discern between good and evil, that is something that the soul learns. Come on, folks, you can do better than this. I haven't been talking that long. Something the soul learns. That's an experience discerning. Then there's a discerning of spirits that is a gift of the Spirit. So it's spirit and soul. But look what the Bible says about testing all things. I was over there in Montana with Phil, and of course Tim was there. You remember that group? There was a group of young people there that were really couldn't get the tongues thing. You remember them? They drove me up the wall. So Phil and I just backed out. Remember, and let Jason do it because they needed me more than I needed them. But anyway, but they would say, well, we've got to test the Spirit. And then I found out what testing the Spirit is. I found it in the Bible. In 1 John 4, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Are we okay? This is a spooky spiritual thing. Whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone into this world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Are you listening? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. That ain't odd. So, don't get too spooky. Now, there's a lot of people now. I'm not great at discerning spirits at the gift, but I'm pretty good at discerning spirits in the soul realm because I've met a lot of spirits in my life and a lot of people who are furlaky. Right. It says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Hold fast what is good. And what am I giving you here? Philippians 4. Finally, brethren. Somebody say finally. No, I'm not stopping yet, but I will soon. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, whatsoever thing of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is your soul confession. Too many people talk too many times about too many negative things. You need to stop it. You need to stop it. Now, I'm just going to try and wrap this up, and I'm going to hand some of these out. Romans chapter 8 says, just listen to this. Everybody just try and listen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Let me just do this. Okay. I don't want anybody to raise their hands, but who here needs money? I don't want you to raise your hands because I know it will create a wind. Now, you need money for your flesh, right? You need a car, you need clothes, you need a house, you need it for your business. That's fine. It's good. No problem. You need it for your flesh. Where is this money? It's in your spirit. Now, how do you get it from your spirit to your flesh? It's got to come through your soul. You've got to convince your intellect. You've got to bring your bankrupt emotions into authority. Come on, folks. This is good stuff. Right? Remember, I'm glad you used that word. You remember when Paul stood before Agrippa or Festus or both, whoever it was, Festus. God, thank God my name ain't Festus. Anyway. Anyway, that's what it reminds me of. So he said, and at the end, the king said, Paul, I'm almost persuaded. See, some of you are still broke because you're almost persuaded. The money comes out and goes, What? Yeah, it does. Healing. Where's the healing? In your spirit. And you quench it through your unbelief. Your healing wants to get to your flesh, but it's got to come through your soul, your will, your emotions, and your intellect, your spiritual understanding. So in other words, praise God, I feel, someone lays hands, you go, thank God, God healed me. And then before you fall down, get down the stairs, you're saying, oh, and you begin to confess my God's got to supply all my needs according to his, oh God, another bill. I know it's funny, but there's no other reality. Either God is or he isn't. And the reason he doesn't, now there is a time to abound, I understand that. There's a time when it's not coming through because God wants to check out. What does he want to check out? Whether you're going to keep praising and whether you're going to keep giving thanks. Are you going to praise when the bills aren't paid? Are you going to be thankful when you don't have it? Are you only going to be praise God when you don't go to jail? Or are you going to praise God when you do go to jail? So are you going to in everything give thanks? You go to jail. How many times did Paul go to jail? And God was all over it. The Philippian church started where? In jail. Paul's commission to Rome was finally set in concrete where? In jail. Nearly all the epistles that we read today were written in jail. You see what I'm saying? So what else? What else does our flesh need? It needs, healing. It needs finances. It needs comfort. Comfort. Loneliness. Where's loneliness? In the flesh. It's actually in your soul. Remember, your flesh doesn't have a life. Your flesh doesn't have a life. It's meat. It doesn't have a life. If you think there's a life, I just had to have a joint. No, you didn't. You decided in your soul that your flesh was going to have one. You decided here. Your flesh did not choose to fornicate. Your soul did. Come on, folks. Get happy or angry. One or the other. You see what I'm saying? You decided to have a second look. You decided to do that. Your eyes didn't say, I don't know about you, but I've never walked. Exactly. See? You have to decide to do it. Same as some of you worshiping God. If the Bible says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you stand by night in the house, lift up your hands in the... Just stinking do it. Why are you fighting it? I was told, Vaughn, what? You should be dancing in church, yeah? You jump up and down in a rugby field, right, when somebody scores, right? Yeah, well, do it for God. Oh, okay. I remember that. But it was here. Wasn't here. It was here. This is dead. This is a lifeless form. This is an earth suit. You go to the moon, you take the moon suit off, and you let it go. It has no life of its own. Your flesh has no life. People who smoke... We all did it. Thanks for the cough. Good timing. And the reality is I remember my father was still alive the first time I had a cigarette, and he died when I was 7. So I remember how much I thought, wow, that's fabulous. No, I went, because my flesh wasn't designed for it, but my soul persuaded it. That was actually quite good. I'm glad I stopped in time. So, are you with me? I'd watch people first time they take a shot of whiskey, most of the time for a bet. That thing is foul. It's worse than Marmite. It is terrible. Yet people force it down their throats. Because it's a man. Yeah, give me 2 fingers, man. Yeah, right. Oh. wasn't designed, but you force it down there by your will. Are you with me?
All right, let's wrap it up now. Good stuff, this God stuff. Romans 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Did you hear that? But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? Easy. You let the Spirit come through the soul and take authority. Did you hear me? All right. Now. All right, last verse, James 2:26. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right? The body without the Spirit is dead. Has anybody here, let's just wrap this up. Let's set every attention. 2 minutes. Have you ever been to funerals, open casket? Have you ever been, unfortunately, yeah. You go there, you look at it, go, who's that? Well, you recognize them, but they like don't. You ever like, I don't even want to touch them because they, whoever that is not. Why? Because the Spirit's gone. And just the earth suit's left. Which, of course, has sin in the earth suit. You see, this is why in the resurrection we'll get a new body. This is why the resurrected body can walk through walls. Because it's a different body. It's not the same body, obviously. Because if Jesus tarries, your body's going to be all... don't want to think about it. Okay, so I was going to put this glove on, but it's probably too small. So, here is... Not guilty, Mr. Simpson. See, you've got to be pretty sharp. I mean, you have to prepare to be spontaneous. So, now, with this glove... Geez, I've never put one of these on before. I could make a joke now, but I won't. Okay. Now, actually, with this... with this, I can do anything, especially make tea, right? So with this, I can put the kettle on, make tea, one lump or two, Vicar. And so I could do anything with this, drive my car, or I'm not much good with my hands, as you all know. I was a thought my hands were there to stop my arms from fraying. So that's not my skill. Now, check the glove. Check the glove. Watch the glove. Glove, make a cup of tea. Glove, drive my car. You see, the glove without the hand has no life of its own. Why do you keep thinking the flesh does? It doesn't have a life of its own. Quiet up there, you're too near the camera, they'll hear you. They think we're having fun in church. So the flesh that you blame for everything is because you've quenched the Spirit. And your number one quench, you're miserable, you're unthankful, you don't want to praise God, your will is determined to do its own thing when God's will is in your spirit. And anyway, that's about the size of it. So did someone get something out of it? Wonderful Jesus. Now, what we've got to see is this is how, when you walk out of here, if you want to remember this, then you need to read this. It didn't come out very well because I printed it in a different color, but it's still legible. So I've only got 20 copies, but you can always get more from Carrie at a later date. So maybe one family or one couple can just take one each between you. Yeah, just hand them out. I think I don't have enough. But please, do some homework. Do some homework. Go home and just look through it again. Or as you're going to the Kings Valley Diner and whatever it is you spend your money on. I was there for breakfast this morning, so. And what's that, mate? Yeah, it's on camera too. That's why I wore this nice shirt. Praise God. Hey, quick questions. Come on, you got it. Yes, sir. Your heart and your spirit. Good question. Did everybody hear that? Is your heart and your spirit one? That's a good question. I don't think so. Because the Bible says from the abundance of the heart. What does it say? The mouth speaks. I think. Jerry thinks too. I know he does. I think your heart is when your spirit and your soul agree. That's what I think. Let me say something. You know, most of us don't actually know what we do believe. You don't. I believe God's a healer. Yeah, well, why are you still sick then? You actually don't believe it. You think you believe it. David said, oh, look at this. Thanks, David, for smiling. Listen to this. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit smoking. Willpower. Self-control is here. Self-control is here in your spirit. Willpower is in your soul. That's why you can't quit smoking. Because you ain't letting God do it. Because you're miserable. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You probably haven't repented. You know, this is why people keep repeating sin. They haven't genuinely repented. They haven't genuinely given up. Elaine, you want to say something? Or are you just trying to hold your... Question? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, thanks. Right, if any two on earth agree is touching anything you ask. I'm sick. I'm healed. I'm broke. My God will supply all my needs. You see what I'm saying? It depends which... This is the gate. This is why the Bible says, with all meekness, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Your spirit's already saved. It's born again. It's one spirit with the Lord. You need your soul to get saved, your will, your emotions, your intellect, to agree with your spirit so your flesh will be in the will of God, right? If any two on earth, which two do you want to? And you can't say, oh, my spirit and my flesh. No, it's got to come through your soul. This is your permission. Does that make sense? Next. Tim. Yeah, if you like. Your flesh is, you know, if you like, the circumstances come in this way. Right? Symptoms. Symptoms start attacking the flesh. Your soul goes, oh, poor me. Or, praise God, I'm healed. You know? Or however you do it. Little enthusiasm is good. You see what I'm saying? You get a bill you can't pay. Praise God, my God is going to supply all my needs. Father, I thank you that I have sowed to the Spirit. I thank you. You are not mocked. Whatever I sowed, I shall also reap. So praise God. The bill's going to get paid. And you start praising God, entering his gates with thanksgiving, and the spirit man begins to come alive. When the will of God in your spirit agrees with the will of God in your soul, your flesh has to do as it's stinking told. Now, what was I going to say about that? Don't rush me. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, where does his word abide? Doesn't it abide in your spirit? It's already there. It's already there. When you get born again, his spirit is joined to yours. So it's already there. But until the word is in your soul, agreeing with the word in your spirit, your flesh is going to do what it likes. Next question. Slava. Well, that is when it's talking about... See, sometimes they are talking about the... You know, I mentioned the sinful nature, you know. I'm crucified with Christ. That's what gets crucified. But that's a whole other subject. So don't go and get too distracted by that. But, yeah. Your conscience is what you really believe. Your subconscious is what you really believe. That's what you really believe. You can pump yourself up in your soul. Oh, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Click. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Click. You know, my God, it's a private joke. Don't worry about it. So, call Pastor Ernie. He'll explain. But you don't really believe it if you have to keep repeating it. Somebody help me. You know, my wife loves me. My wife loves me. Why my wife? What is the problem in your marriage?
You see what I'm saying? Once you get it. Now, we went through, I remember going through that. Doubting Wendy loved me. I'm not talking about a week or two after we were married either. You doubted it, and then it's dealt. I wouldn't dream of asking if she loved me, because it's done. Same as I don't doubt my God will supply all my needs. It's done for me. There's other things I'm not so good in, right? But okay, and there was another question, Brian. Attitude is what I think it means. Attitude. Spirit of your mind was the question. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But there is a spiritual reality that comes this way, though, because, you know, in other words, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus is a spirit reality. But your mind's here, of course, you know, and all these things. It's endless scriptures. I'm just coming out of one text. Questions. Try and stay on. David. That's why you have, yeah, that's a good question. Well, you know, this is why power evangelism is so successful. Either the slow witness, in other words, they see something in their emotions, they say, well, he's a good guy, yeah, maybe I'll give him permission into my soul. Or power evangelism, where you go, bam! Whack them in the flesh. They go, whoa, what was that? They've opened up their soul, right? You see what I'm saying? See, until they open up here and let you in, otherwise, because you've got to speak spirit to spirit. And that's why arguing is why, you know, we've had wars for 2,000 years, especially with each other. A couple of more questions. Gracie. Yeah, it's where the soul, which is your emotions, your flesh can't be your heart. Your heart can focus on the flesh, and it like becomes entangled with your heart. Deception. But your actual, you know, Duncan was the first one that taught me, and it took me years before I saw it myself. Your subconscious is really your heart, because that's what you really believe. When somebody treads on your toe, you really believe what you really believe. That's the end of it. The baby's crying. We need to stop. Tim. I bring my flesh under subjection. Well, you know, I don't want to judge what he did. We know he did. He probably decided to punch one person, and then another time, he was told to punch somebody. But because before he'd heard punch someone, this time maybe didn't. Yeah. Right. You know, one of my problems that I'm at last beginning to get a revelation of is my soul strength. Because I'm so strong in my soul, because I know a lot, you know what I'm saying? My soul can be very convincing, but it needs still to be spirit-led. And it's true with all of us. That's where your arguments are all based in your soul. Let's not get too sidetracked. Are we doing good? Are we having a good time? Are we having fun yet? Are we there yet? No, but we're on the right road. So praise God. Father, I just want to thank you.